A day, glorious day. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you indeed this morning, Lord our Lord. Even now, we feel the joy and the thought of beholding your precious, hallowed face. Lord, what a wonderful day it will be when we, like Thomas, can reach out and touch the nail, scarred man. Lord, even the side which was pierced for us, Lord, that we could behold thee and magnify thee and adore thee, for thou indeed hast redeemed us out of all corruption and from every snare of the enemy. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you have set straight path before our feet this morning. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you have lifted us out of a horrible pit of miry clay and you've set our feet upon the King's highway. We thank you, Lord, you've established our goings this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you took away the filthy, stinking, spotted garments. And we thank you, Lord, that you clothed us in garments of righteousness. We thank you, Lord, that indeed this morning to us is imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. We can come with boldness before a holy God this morning, pleading the merits of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, this morning with Paul we can say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Lord, you are strengthened. Our witnessed the other day that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we thank you this morning that we have joy in thee. Lord, with something to be glad about this morning. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we are quickened, we're made alive by Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that your word says that he that believeth in me, he shall never die. Believest thou this? I believe it this morning, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, indeed, this flesh may perish, Lord God, but we know, Lord, that there's been a seed sown, an incorruptible seed, Lord, which liveth and abideth forever, and is born of God, not born of man, but Lord, is born of you. And we thank you, Lord, for that this morning. We thank you, Lord, for regeneration through the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, this morning, if there's any listening that know thee not as the Lord and Savior, we pray, Lord God, that you'll convict their heart of sin and lead them by thy grace to repentance, that they would call upon your name for salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, that they too may feel this joy, and they too may have this blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We pray this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll bless the one that comes and opens thy word. We pray, Lord, that thy word this morning will go forth like a mighty hammer that breaks the rocks to pieces in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that every stronghold of the mind will be cast down and broken down in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord God, that where the Spirit of the Lord is this morning, there will be liberty. We pray, Lord, that there will be among each of your
house that is better over his love. Born again. my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed, let not my enemies triumph over me. Sacred altar is within the tomb.
Family, and I know it's hard to do it, but you know, when we were in the Orange Hall, people said, "We'll not come to an Orange Hall, but if you're somewhere else, we'll come." Well, there's no Orange Hall now. We are somewhere else. It's open air, but praise God, it's an opportunity to bring someone. And there's no affiliation with any building or anything. We're here to preach Jesus Christ. Him crucified. Our mission is to uplift the name of the Lord Jesus, for his name is above every other name. There's no other name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. I want to welcome you all this morning, and I want to thank you, Brother Gary, for leading us in a word of song, and we do appreciate it. And this morning I want to take for the text three big words. Now you might say that's a strange title. It is. It's a very strange title. But there's three words I've picked this morning, and I want to preach on those three words. If we could turn to the Bible, to Acts 10, verse 43 to 44, and I want to read several portions, but just short portions from the Word of God. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 43 and 44. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And that's our first big word, is remission. And that's the first word I'm going to look at this morning, the word remission. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. If we could read in Matthew 26 and verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I read also in Hebrews 9 and 22, and I'm deliberately reading all these scriptures to give you this word, remission. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission. Let us bow for a word of prayer again while we look to the Lord this morning. And if you have a need, God can meet that need. I know a lot of people don't believe in Jesus as a healer, but I do. He's a Savior and a healer, a baptizer in the Holy Ghost, and the soon coming King. Let us bow our heads again before the Lord. Our Father and our eternal God, we humbly do bow before thee this morning in the name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for this day, for this opportunity, that we can come around the Word of God and the throne of grace, for we may find help in the time of need. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that thy word will speak to the lives and hearts of men and women today, that thou will indeed save and deliver in Jesus Christ's name. Encourage and strengthen and heal in Jesus Christ's name. Get thyself all the praise and all the glory. May the Holy Ghost come, and may the Holy Ghost anoint thy word in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, I take the blessed Holy Spirit to help me, and I thank you that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take, first of all, this word, remission. And there's three words I'm looking at, and I've called them big words, for they are big. What can be bigger than the word remission? This is the one of the greatest words in the whole of the New Covenant, or New Testament. It means a wiping out, as though had it never been in the first place. Remission means wiped out, as though it never was in the first place. Remission, dismissal, passing over or release of a debt. When an army is disbanded, it is remitted. It stops being. And when God remits our sins, they're wiped out as though they had never been. The word remission is never used but in connection with the new birth. And it's when we receive the new birth through the power of the blood of Jesus that our sins are remitted. They're wiped out. They're wiped away. They're taken away. What did it please to notice in Hebrews 2, verse 22, two things which are the opposite to each other. Firstly, sin unremitted, and secondly, sin remitted. So we see sin unremitted, and there's many people today which have sin unremitted. The apostle says, without the shedding of blood is no remission, no remittal. So if the blood was never shed, there would never be no remittal of sin. Therefore, a preacher has no message to preach if he does not preach the blood of Jesus Christ. For it is only by and through the blood of Jesus Christ that sins are remitted. And the apostle here tells us, without the shedding of blood is no remission. Now I don't like the sound of that word, and I believe you don't either. No remittal. No remission. That might have been like the sound of those words. You know, the sound that was in the ears of the sinners from the time of Adam until now. No remission. And a man or a woman that's never come under the blood of Jesus, a man or a woman that's never been born again, there's no remission. Their sins remain. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Religion has no blood in it. Religion without blood is dead religion. Preaching without blood in it is dead preaching. It takes the power of the blood to regenerate. It takes the power of the blood to remit sin, to remove sin, to annihilate sin. That's why the devil hates the preaching of the blood of Jesus Christ. He loves philosophers. He loves praisers. And you know, modern language and modern talk, joining systems, organizations, lodges, but none of these can bring the new birth. It's only by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ can we have remission. I tell you, from the times of Adam until now, many a man could say no remission. Many a man and a woman never came to the blood, never knew the blood, and their sins were never remitted. It would have made this world a dreadful prison house, wouldn't it? If everywhere, you know, man's sins remained, wouldn't it have been a real prison house if your sins would remain? Think of those words that they stared you in the face. No remission. This indeed is the inscription across the vault of hell. Across the vault of hell are his words. That's why this is a big word. Remission's a very big word. And across the vault of hell is the words, no remission. This indeed is one of the inscriptions across the vault of hell. No remission. We don't like to hear the sound of those words, yet they must be sounded aloud, for there are still some to whom they apply. The man or the woman that's never been saved, the man or the woman that's never came to the bloody altar of Calvary, is still under sin, is still under bondage. And these words are across them, no remission. My friend, it's a terrible place to be. It's terrible words to be under, no remission. And I would warn you today and preach to you today to come to the Savior and to come under these other words, remission. Not no remission, but remit it. Let me say this about sin. Sin is an inward spiritual attitude of rebellion towards God, which is expressed in outward acts of disobedience. We're all sinners in this way, and by our sinful lives we rob God of the glory due him. Sin is followed by three main consequences. First, inward spiritual death, or alienation from God. Second, the physical death of the body. And third, final punishment from the presence of God to the place of darkness and torment. That's what sin does. Christ came to save us from our sins. Himself without sin took our sins upon him, died in our place, and rose again from the dead, that we might be forgiven and receive eternal life. God hates sin, but loves a sinner. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not a Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Every man and woman must come to Christ. Then we have our sins forgiven on the basis of our relationship and the intercession work of Jesus Christ. When we come to him as sinners and take Christ as Savior and confess him, there is no possession without confession. John 10:9. We must confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. There is never possession without confession. But when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we are saved. And we must be saved. We don't want to have these words over our coffin, no remission. But we want to have the words over our coffin, remitted, removed, forgiven, and saved, praise God. I tell you, when we come to Him as sinners and take Christ as Savior, confess Him as our Lord, then all that we have ever done is wiped out, it's remitted, it's removed. In the new birth, all that we have ever been stops being, and a new creature takes place of the old. When we're born again, we're not a new man. We're not just an improved person. We haven't just changed our ways. No! That's not the Bible. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. That means recreated by the power of God, through the power of the blood of the Spirit of Almighty God. New creatures. Thank God this morning for new creatures. 6 or 8 times the word remission is translated forgiveness in the epistles. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Then it is clearly implied that with the shedding of blood there is remission. In the gospel we always have glad news to tell unconverted sinners. With thy unconverted sin, we have glad news to tell you, and this is thy sins may be remitted. There is no sin of which you cannot repent. Christ will remove all sins. If only a sinner will come, all sins can be forgiven. All sins can be removed. All sins can be remitted. For the blood of Jesus Christ has the power within it to remit and remove and annihilate all sin. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, remission of our trespasses. Galatians 1:13-14, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Luke 4:47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Our message is to preach remission. Jesus told the church, your message is to preach remission. Remission is the message of the church. Remission was the message of the apostles. Remission is the message of the blood of Jesus. Remission is possible because the blood of Jesus has been shed. Therefore, sins can be remitted. They can be abolished. They can be washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This gift is eternal life. The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. And when you receive remission, you receive the gift of eternal life. Remission brings with it the gift of eternal life. When God gives you remission, you repent of your sins. You come to the Savior and you receive remission and you receive eternal life. The remission of our sins takes the place of the scapegoat. And if you look in chapter 16, if you wanted to read it, remission of our sins takes place of the scapegoat under the first covenant, which was but a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. It bore away their sins once a year, while the blood covered Israel as a nation. So every year, Israel's sins was covered as a nation. And there was a goat, and they laid their hands on that goat, and it became a scapegoat. It was took away and released in the wilderness, and the sins were carried away. But remember, there had to be a remembrance of them every year. But Jesus Christ, once and for all, the Word of God says, removes our sins. Once and for all at Calvary removes our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6 and 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. I tell you, when your sins are remitted, when you have true remission, you have a birth. You have a birth. And you cannot have a birth without repentance and without remission. There can be no birth without remission. And you must come and receive remission. And there's only one place you can receive remission. That's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot receive remission through the church. You cannot receive remission through an earthly priest. But you can only receive remission through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's my second big word, and it's forgiveness. The first big word's remission. The second one is forgiveness. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Forgiveness is a relationship word. I want you to get this. It is a relationship word. I'm speaking now from the new covenant point of view. When the sinner accepts Christ as Savior, his spirit is recreated and his sins are remitted. Remitted. Ezekiel 36:26 tells us, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. I tell you, when the Lord forgives your sins, and the Spirit of God comes in you, the life of the blood of Jesus comes upon you, you get a new spirit, you get a new life that comes in you. Last week I said there's two spirits. There's a spirit of the world and there's a spirit of God. There's a spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. And we all once walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That's why we needed another spirit. We needed a new spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to birth us. We need the Holy Spirit to move us. And God to work within us to reconcile us back to God. On the ground of our relationship as a child of God and Jesus Christ, ministry as our high priest at the right hand of the Father, there is ground for forgiveness of all sin. Thank God that Jesus is the right hand of the Father and Jesus Christ is our intercessor. And we can come to him and he will hear us and answer us. In 1 John 2, verse 1 to 2, here's what it says. My little children, God is addressing the believer here. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here we see also in 1 John 1, 3 to 9, it is God's method for maintaining our fellowship with him. If we sin so that our fellowship is broken, we may renew that fellowship by confessing our sin. And many times, even as Christians, even though we're saved, we can break fellowship with God because of sin. That's why we need to learn in the scripture about an advocate. We need to know about an advocate when we're believers so that we can come back to God. The psalmist David never lost his salvation, but he lost the joy of a salvation. Maybe today I'm preaching to the backslider. Maybe today I'm preaching to the man or a woman, and you've sinned and you're away from God. My friend, you can come back today. Jesus Christ is your advocate. And because you have an advocate, you can come back today and your sins will be forgiven by the same power of the blood that saved you. It will still remain with power to forgive you and cleanse you every single day of your life till Jesus comes. He is unable to act as our advocate unless we confess our sins. Do you realize that? He will only act as our advocate when we confess our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us from all unrighteousness. The moment we confess, then he takes us. He takes up our case before the Father. Jesus takes your case. I tell you, this is a legal lawyer we have. This is the man that Job talked about. If there was only a man, a go-between, here he is today. He is the Lord Jesus. There is a go-between today. There's a man called Jesus, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he ever liveth as our high priest to make intercession for the saints. 1 John 1, verse 3 to 9. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. You can never have full joy till your sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. We're going to see also this morning that the old covenant covered sin. But under the new covenant, it's not covered. It's annihilated. It's gone, and it's gone to stay. No longer to be remembered against us anymore. In verse 4, these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The word declares that when we confess our sins, he is righteous and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To wipe them out as though they'd never been. It is absolutely essential that Christians know Jesus as their advocate. Many who are out of fellowship have confessed their sins many times without receiving a sense of restoration because they did not know that Jesus was their advocate. They did not take the forgiveness when they confessed their sins. They did not act upon the word which declared that the Father forgives the moment they confess. No Christian should ever remain in broken fellowship any longer than it takes to ask forgiveness. How long did it take to say, Father, will you forgive me? I come through the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you forgive me? And I tell you, when you come and you ask for forgiveness, you will be back in fellowship straight away. If you've lost your joy, you can have your joy restored because of the power of forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. And I tell you, you might not know it, but many people during this lockdown, many Christians, because there's been no church and no service, many have backslidden. Many have backslidden. Many have fallen by the wayside. But the Lord restores the backslidden, but you must acknowledge your wrong. Acknowledge your sin. You say, but what if we're saved? A saved person can still sin. But thank God this morning, there's forgiveness for sin, even when we're saved. The blood of Jesus forgives us and cleanses us from all sin. Didn't David pray to the Lord? And didn't God restore David? And God, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. What the Father forgives, he forgets. Did you hear me? What the Father forgives, he forgets. A child of his should never dishonor his word by ever thinking about his sins again. When God forgives you, never think of it again. Never go back to it again. Your sins are gone and they're gone to stay. Don't go back to them again. There's a wee woman, I heard a story many years ago, and she prayed earnestly. She'd committed sins, she felt guilty, and she confessed it to the Lord and asked for forgiveness. And for several days, she went about troubled and worried and wearied. And she kept telling the Lord, will you answer me back? Will you answer me back? I've asked your forgiveness. Finally, God spoke to her and said, sister, I don't know, or daughter, I don't know what you're talking about, because your sins are gone. They're washed away in the sea of God's forgetfulness. I do not remember them no more. Why do you want to remember them? And I tell you, that's wonderfully the truth of God's words. Forgiveness means forgiveness. His word, Isaiah 1 verse 18. This is a scripture which God spoke to me when God really moved on my life. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as the wool. Here we see the term, let us reason together. This term means to come to a legal decision. It is not an invitation to negotiate or compromise, but it means come now. God's not saying, think about this for several weeks or days. This is saying, come now, right now. And God is saying, come now, come right now. The people of Israel hear what it's talking about. And we know it's also scripture to compound meaning, so it can be for us today. To come to an arrangement with God concerning the enormous gravity of the sin. Israel had sinned in a tremendous way against God. And God was saying, come now, come right now. God was not declaring his people innocent of wickedness, but he was prepared to pardon their sin if they would repent and turn to him. God wanted them to put the matter right or settle the matter. It means putting an end to all reasoning. And God wants us to come right now. God wants us to put an end to all reasoning. He wants us to come to the Savior. He wants us to be saved. He wants to give us remission. He wants to give us forgiveness. He wants to wash us. He wants to clean us. He wants to purify us with the precious blood of Jesus. No other man can clean you. No church can clean you. No organization can clean you. But the blood of Jesus Christ can clean you and deliver you and heal you and liberate you. That's the power the blood of Jesus has within it. I want you to think also of this word, scarlet. The color scarlet is also often associated with immorality and sin, particularly prostitution or adultery. And we're living in a land of fornication. We're living in a land of adultery. For people think nothing of committing adultery. For people live with each other in sin. And it's called fornication in the Bible. But they think nothing of it. But the Bible calls it sin. Fornication is sin. Adultery is sin. I tell you this morning, my friend, it's sin. And there's only one remedy for sin. That's forgiveness. And there's only one way to have forgiveness. And that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But you must come to him. You must acknowledge you're a sinner. You must realize you're a sinner. And you must repent of your sin and come to Jesus Christ. All through the Bible we see this scarlet, it's red color. And particularly speaks, one example is Revelation 17, talks about the scarlet woman. I have time to bring that this morning, but it speaks of deep, dark sin. And I tell you, many of us are in deep, dark sin. But the Lord told us, come and let us reason together. Aren't you glad the day the Spirit of God moved you? Aren't you glad the day the Spirit of God brought you to reason, to come to your senses, to come immediately to the throne of grace, to kneel down before the altar of God by faith, and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Here's my last big word this morning, and that is atonement. I was singing the words this morning as I walked. For atonement cannot be. Hallelujah! What a Savior. I tell you, Jesus Christ brings us full atonement. Church doesn't bring you full atonement. A priest doesn't bring you full atonement. But Jesus Christ brings you full atonement. Full atonement, praise God. Not part atonement, but full atonement. This is my last thought this morning, atonement. The first covenant law, which we call the messianic law, the priesthood, sacrifices, and ordinances. When the law was broken, it had to be, you know, because Israel was spiritually dead. They broke the law. They rebelled against God. They sinned against God. The priesthood was ordered to make atonement or a covering for them. That is why I go back to Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. There had to be a life given. There had to be an atonement made. Atonement is a life given. And even in the Old Testament, there had to be a life given to save life. They did not have eternal life through the Old Testament. You know, under that old atonement, they could not be made perfect until Christ came. Do you know that? Did you know they were held within Abraham's bosom? They couldn't even come out of it till Jesus resurrected. Hallelujah. I tell you, this is full atonement we have this morning. Jesus came to bring full atonement. He redeemed us. He said, I am come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Now, I know that they were saved in the Old Testament. I'm not saying they weren't saved. They were saved under the sacrificial lamb. They were saved. But it was but a type of Jesus Christ. Let me clearly say this morning. The Levitical priesthood offered a bullock to the lamb, or whatever they offered for an atonement. That animal's blood was shed. God accepted it, but it had to be repeated every year. Also, there's something else here I want you to see. That atonement was not complete, because that lamb or bullock had no soul. It had no life in it. When its blood was shed and went on the ground and came and dried up, it withered away. It had to be continually offered. But when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, the blood cell was broken, and the very life of God Himself was released. There was a life in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Romans tells us that the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. It will quicken also your mortal body. The life for the blood of Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit comes back on the believer. This Lamb of God had a life, a supernatural life, a superhuman life, super ability, super power, super life, because He was, John 1 verse 1, in the beginning was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God was in Jesus Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt in the Lord. And I tell you, Jesus' blood was not ordinary blood. Jesus' blood was God's blood. He had the blood of His Father flowing in His veins. The supernatural blood of Jesus was shed so that we could have remission, so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have full atonement. Thank God for full atonement this morning. John 10 verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You remember the receiving eternal life is the greatest event in any human being's experience. This is the greatest event in any human being's experience. It's to receive eternal life. You cannot spiritually ever die once you receive eternal life. The second death has no power over you once you receive eternal life. On the great day of atonement, we see two remarkable things that took place. Firstly, surrounded by great persecutions, the high priest carries the blood of an innocent animal into the holiest of holies and sprinkles it upon the mercy seat that covers the broken law. Now Israel is blood covered for 1 year. Blood covered for 1 year. I tell you, only for 1 year. Leviticus 17 verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. So the blood was given upon the altar to make atonement for your soul. And this atonement that these priests offered made atonement for the soul for the year. That's why you can't call it full salvation in the Old Testament, because it only made atonement for the year. But the Bible says Jesus Christ, glory to God, was offered up once and for all. Hallelujah! And can you praise God? I'm glad he only had to be offered once. Once for all was Christ offered up. And we have full atonement this morning. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. This scripture tells us the blood is given as a covering for atonement by reason of the life that is in it. It is the life of an innocent animal typically spread over spiritually dead Israel. Secondly, the next fact is a scapegoat. Aaron lays the sins of Israel upon the head of the scapegoat, which is led away into the wilderness to be devoured by the wild beasts for the year. They are free, blood covered, and their sins are borne away for 1 year. Aren't you glad that Jesus never bore your sins away for 1 year? But your sins are gone, praise God, and they're gone to stay gone. Washed away into the sea of God's forgetfulness. Leviticus 16:10. But the goat in which the lamb fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement with him and to let him go for the scapegoat into the wilderness. There had to be atonement to reconcile sinful man back to God. This true reconciliation was made possible through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Verse 19 of Romans 5. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We are made righteous by one man, and that one man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning for the Savior. The word here, atonement, in these scriptures, and I want you to notice this before I close. This word here, atonement, in the Old Testament means to cover up, but it is applied to the Old Testament sacrifices to cover up for a year. The word reconciliation here, katalga, is a word for it in Greek, and it simply means the form or the verb to reconcile. So it doesn't mean to cover up, it means to reconcile. Romans 5:10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. How did we get the life of God? How can you get the life of God? I want to tell you, the only way you or me could get the life of God was according to Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood. When Jesus shed his blood, the life of God was released to us. And this morning, we can have the life of God. I want to say to you, the saved, the life of God, yes, it saves you, but it quickens you. It can quicken your mortal body. Now, the Bible clearly says it can quicken your mortal body. If it can quicken your mortal body, this life of God can heal you. It can deliver you. It can change your body. The power of the Spirit of God is able to do it. Hallelujah. Full atonement. 2 Corinthians 5:19. This is my last verse. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed to us the word of reconciliation. Will you remember these three words? Will you? Remission, forgiveness, atonement. Jesus Christ done these things for you. He done them for me. My friend, today, Jesus' precious blood's powerful. So powerful, it can cleanse a prostitute. So powerful, it can transform a jailbird and make him a preacher. So powerful, it can deliver a drug addict and make him a saint of God. That's how powerful this blood is. Without the shedding of blood, no remission. Aren't you glad that's here this morning that Jesus shed his blood for you? Aren't you glad he bled on the cross? He bled on the cross for you and me. There's a bloody altar this morning, a bloody place for Jesus bled. And I want to tell you this morning, that cross is empty. The tomb is empty. And that same Jesus that bled is risen. And he's at the right hand of the Father. And he is our advocate this morning. He's our legal lawyer. We have a right to him. We have a right to come to him. The veil's been rent. The way is made. Right into the presence of God. Into the Shekinah glory. Into the presence of God. The way is made. The way back to God. From the dark paths of sin. I challenge you this morning, will you come? I challenge you that's backslidden. Will you come back to the Lord? Jesus will take you as you are. His blood will wash you. His blood will cleanse you. He'll remit your sins. He'll remove them. Why wouldn't it be an awful tragedy? What about friends we have? What about people we know that's sat in many services, that's heard the gospel preached, but above their funeral will be the words, "No remittal." I tell you, that's a tragedy, but it's a real one. A tragedy, but a real one. I tell you, everyone needs to be saved. The most important thing, salvation. The most important thing is to be saved. And I will tell you today, you have to be saved. Jesus Christ is coming again. I never thought when I stood here and preached last Sunday morning, I preached and had an awful time after it. I felt I didn't do so well. But all that week I saw what I preached. Where the world's in chaos, where there's no law, where they break the law, where they gripe and kill and do whatever they want to do. And we saw all this stuff about lockdown and 2 meters. All of it was broke last week. Broken every protest over the whole world, over the whole country. It was all broken. And I tell you, that's why the Word of God says, no man can keep the law. But Jesus Christ did. He kept it, he exonerated it, and he fulfilled it. And we need him this morning. Christians need him, but the unsaved need him. My friend, if you're listening in and you're not saved, you need this remission. You need to come to Jesus Christ. He's the only one can save you. Maybe you're depending on some old priest. Some old serpent of the devil. My, if you only could see in his heart, he's twofold a child of hell, more than the people confessing to him. I want to tell you this morning, if you're depending on some earthly priest, it will fail you. It will surely fail. There was only one priest this morning. This is the priest, Christ Jesus. He's my priest. My prophet, my priest, my king. Jesus Christ is his name. Will you come to him? Will you come to him and confess your sins? Will you lay your hands by faith upon the Savior? Will you confess the Lord Jesus Christ? Romans 10 and 9. Will you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? Then thou shalt be saved. No possession. Without confession. But if you confess, you will possess. Let us bow our heads this morning. Now I'm going to say it. Maybe some that's saved here and you're not living the way you should be. Maybe you're playing church a bit, playing games, fiddling with the devil. You say, what are you talking about? You know what I'm talking about. I tell you, my friend, this morning it's time to be real with God. It's time to come clean and clear with God. You're listening in, you're not saved. You've never come to Jesus Christ. I'm giving you an opportunity to come. Come this morning. Come to the Savior. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Keep our heads this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning for your great provision. Thank you for these three big words. Remission, forgiveness, and atonement. Father, I thank you that you've made an open way for For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray you'll give deciding grace to those listening in. Pray for the backslidden, you'll restore them. Pray the Spirit of God will move them. Father, ask now if there's any sick in their body. I pray for the life of that blood, the Holy Ghost, to come upon your people. Lord, we read at the beginning of this service, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Lord, I pray the people will hear the word, not the man. And the Holy Ghost will fall upon them in Jesus Christ's name. Father, bless us now. And Lord, undertake for us, I pray in Jesus' name. Cover us all with your blood. Bless the children. Bless the parents. Bless all that's listening in. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. We will be live again this evening by way of Facebook, church book. And I know we had problems last week with it, but hopefully we've got it fixed. Just be a wee short message this evening. I'm going to be specifically preaching on healing tonight. 4:30, just a 30-minute little talk. Pray for us. Listen in. Take the time for God. Give time to God. We're in lockdown. Isn't it amazing in lockdown? So many have still no time for God. But I trust you have time, and I thank those this morning that give your time to come to hear the word of God. God bless you all. God bless you. Brother Gary, God bless you.
That little chorus, if we can. He has forgiven me. My sins have been washed from his memory.
Glory to his name.
Jesus Christ, what a privilege and what a joy it is to know and to feel our sins have been remitted, that they're gone underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. My sins are gone. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the knowledge of sins forgiven. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that your word says that we are now new creatures in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you're able also not only to forgive, but Lord, you're also able, Lord, to keep us after you've forgiven us, Lord. And you're able, Lord, to seal us by your Spirit unto the day of redemption. Lord, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Lord, we pray this morning now that as we go, that you'll take each one to their homes in safety. Lord, help us this evening, Lord, even while we've been tuning again, to bless each and every one. And Lord, we just ask you, Lord, that you'll help us, Lord Jesus Christ, to continue, Lord, to be faithful towards you, that our thoughts and our hearts and our affections will be toward you. Of Jesus Christ we pray for. Lord, thou art the only one worth loving, Lord. Amen. For thou hast done great things for us, we're all very glad. And thee, Lord, as we have heard this morning, there was only one appointed taker away of sin. There's only one who could give full atonement. Lord, we know that that full atonement, even as we heard so plainly this morning, is in the one man, Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you became our kinsman redeemer. And we thank you, Lord, this morning for all the wonderful benefits being saved. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, for those in our families, Lord, that's not yet saved. We pray, Lord, you'll save them. We ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed you'll move upon them. And Lord, for those people that we'll be praying for, we pray, Lord God, you'll continue to move upon them, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those that's been saved recently. And Lord, we pray that you continue, Lord, to save. For Lord, you are a Savior. That's what you do. And we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, indeed, that you'll cover our family and loved ones with thy precious blood and bring them under conviction and save their souls, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we give you all the glory, honour and the praise for belonging to thee. Bless the pastor this morning, Lord, who brought thy word. Restore unto him virtue and meet his needs, and bless his family, save his children, all in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, giving God the glory. Amen. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you this morning, and thank you for coming along. And if we're not back in our normal place of worship by next week, we'll see you again next week, Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come by then. The Lord bless you this morning. Hosanna, Hosanna.